There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Acharei Mos Kedoshim, another double Parsha as we get ready for an exciting week. Pesach Sheni, Lag BaOmer, next Erev Shabbos. Lots to talk about, lots to get involved in. And a warm welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for making the time. I'm what's a really, really short Erev Shabbos to come listen, to come get involved, to come see if we can learn something, if we can enrich our own knowledge, our own Shabbos, and perhaps be able to share something at the table with our friends and family. As always, the program today is sponsored the Refuah Shleima for Ovadya Yosef ben Avraham Avinu, for Menachem Reuven ben Pesa Yudis, for Shleima Leib ben Etel, for Ephraim ben Janka, for Shulamis Leah Bas Asna, for Dvorah Simcha Bas Rezo, for Lana Tevya Bas Raina, Akaba Bas Libamina, and Binyamina Bas Yenta Besech Shor Chorle Yisrael, amongst all the other people who need Yeshuas, who need Nechamas, who need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special bracha in every area of their life. May Taka Vizchus of us coming together, ba'achdus, with unity, with love, with caring, to learn Torah, to get ready for Shabbos together. May that be a huge, huge chus for those people who so desperately need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. The second parsha we're going to learn tomorrow begins, Dabel v'nei Yisrov, Yomata aleim setzem kedoshim to you. Thou shalt be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem lekechem. Because I, Hashem, am holy. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us to be holy, to sanctify ourselves. In other words, being good is not sufficient. One actually has to strive to be holy. How does one achieve holiness? Indeed, how does one define holiness in the heavenly sort of vernacular? So Rashi explains, kedoshim to you as perushim to you. Abstinence from immorality. Distancing oneself from morally sort of unacceptable behavior. Ramban maintains that instruction to be holy is not limited to any specific observance or discipline. Rather, it is an enjoyment to live a life of moderation. Just because an activity is permitted, one doesn't have license to overindulge. Such a person is called a naval b'shus ha-Torah, a degenerate with the permission of the Torah. Now, in the introduction to his kind of magnum opus, Shara Yosher, Harav Shimon Shkop explains that true Kedusha is achieved by dedicating one's physical and spiritual capacities to the benefit of others, both on an individual and a communal level, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. As we said, we have an obligation to walk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, means acting altruistically towards our fellow man. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are rooted in kindness and benevolence, so too should human actions be thus orientated. This approach underscores the idea that holiness is not an abstract state, but an actualization in real time, right? Through concrete actions focused on the welfare of others. by expanding one's sense of self to include the needs and well-being of others, an individual mirrors the divine attributes of chesed, of kindness, thus fulfilling the Torah's vision of a holy life. Indeed, according to Rav Shimon, holiness is about separation. Rather than separating from immorality or distancing oneself from overindulgence in what is a permissible way, we are instructed to separate from one's self and think, focus on others. And that really is how we fulfill our divine will. 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a minute with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Acharei Mois Kedoshim Tov Shin Pei. As we prepare for another amazing and beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, full of Kedusha, full of Abba, full of such beautiful, beautiful things. The main pasuk, the most famous perhaps pasuk in the Pasha, we're going to learn tomorrow, V'yahavta l'reacha k'moicha ani Hashem, shall love your fellow as yourself. I am Hashem. Now, understanding this need to actually promote love and positive relationships between fellow Jews is quite simple. However, how is ani Hashem, I am Hashem, somehow connected to Avas Yisrael? Shazadijan Saleba, Rabbi Yisrael, explains this with a mashal, a parable. Two friends were inseparable, even when they grew into adulthood and they chose sort of vocations which created a geographic distance between them, their relationship did not change. They tried to stay in touch with one another as much as possible. One day, let's call him Reuven, heard that his friend Shimon had been accused of a trumped-up charge. He immediately prepared to travel to his community to see what he could do to help. In those days, any infraction against the government carried the death penalty. It did not matter if the defendant was innocent. If he was accused, he was immediately found guilty. That was justice in those days. The fact that he was Jewish was not a plus either. Reuven arrived as they were about to carry out the sentence. The gallows were prepared. Even the noose was already on Shimon's neck. Stop! You're hanging an innocent man. I am the one who's responsible. I am guilty, Reuven screamed. That man is a liar. I am the guilty one, not he, Shimon yelled back. When the executioner saw what was taking place in front of his eyes, he called the king. Never had he seen men bent on being executed to save the other. The king could not believe what he heard. He had to investigate personally. So he spoke to Reuven and asked him why he was willing to die in place of Shimon. Reuven explained, I know my friend Shimon. He is not capable of performing the crime for which he is being accused. If I see that my friend, upon whom my own life depends, is being sent to the gallows, however, it must be that I am in some way guilty. For me to see my friend die means that I should die. When the king heard this, he said, both of you return to your homes. I ask only one thing of you, and that is, please allow me to join in your friendship. I too want to have such friends. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. If you will love one another, kamaycha, as you each love yourself, then ani Hashem, I Hashem, want to join in your relationship. The Alter from Kelm posits that included in the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha is that our love towards our fellow be natural, not sort of Torah imposed. We must really love him. What does like yourself actually mean? We love ourselves because we do. No one instructs or commands us to care about or love ourselves. Likewise, our feelings towards our fellow man should be part of our natural personality. Yedoilim stories are usually about the Torah giants' scholarship, diligence, humility, and devotion to Torah. It is a given that a gadol fulfills the mitzvah, which, according to Hillel, the entire Torah is based on. Just as they take their Torah story and mitzvah observance so seriously and take it to the extreme, however, their love for their fellow man was exemplary. The following story is not novel. It's a well-known vignette concerning one of the greatest gedolim of the last century, a gadol both in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael, Harav Issa Zalman Meltzer Zal. He was the uncle of three of the Rosh Yeshivas of Yeshivas Chevron, Harav Avram Kohn, Harav Moshe Chevroni, and Harav Yecheskel Sarna. The following story was related by Rav Moshe Chevroni during the hesped, the eulogy he gave for his revered uncle. His goal was to underscore Rav Issa Zalman's unparalleled love of Torah. He learned another part of the story, the rest of the story, during the Shiva. This added part demonstrated an attribute of Rav Issa Zalman which complemented his scholarship and explains why he was a gadol without peer. During the British Mandate, a curfew between 6 o'clock p.m. and 6 o'clock a.m. was imposed on the residents of Yerushalayim. The British soldiers patrolled the streets, and because they were in a conflict with the Israel underground, they were sure, right, to be out at night because the soldiers had no problem shooting first and then asking questions. During the curfew, Rav Moshe Chevroni was in the yeshiva at 2 a.m. when he heard knocking at the door. The knocking became serious and loud. Rav Moshe feared for his life in case it was British soldiers looking for weapons. Since he did not speak English, communication with them would be impossible. In a shaking voice, he asked who was there. Said, "It's your uncle," Rav Issa Zalman replied. "What is the uncle doing here at this hour? It's not safe to go outside." Rav Issa Zalman explained that he was troubled by a ruling of the Rambam, and he figured that he would not sleep until he understood the Rambam. "I was wondering who could help me at this time of night, and I thought of you. Together, we will learn the Rambam and resolve my question." The question was brilliant, but what was most amazing was the exuberance manifest by the senior Rosh Yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael. A short while later, Rav Moshe arrived at an understanding of the Rambam, which satisfied Rav Issa Zalman. He could now go home. Rav Moshe attempted to dissuade him from leaving, right? He should remain in his home overnight. Rabbi Sol Zalman explained, no, that he must immediately record the explanation in his notebook. It says, look at his love for Torah, right? His sleep, his safety, nothing mattered when it came to Torah study. This is how Rabbi Moshe ended the Hesped. Now, for the rest of the story. During the Shiva, Rebbetzin Meltzer revealed the true reason that Rav Issa Zalman had risked his life to go out that night. See, the Rosh Yeshiva authored Eben HaEzel on the Rambam. He wanted very much to have it printed. It had been a staple in the Yeshiva's world from that moment on, right? From the moment the book saw the light of day. The printer was busy, as he had other jobs. He said it would be a wait of a few years before he could get to it. One day, the printer informed us that there had been a cancellation, and if the Eben HaEzel was there in the morning, he would go about printing it. Finally, my husband's sefer would be printed. When I told him it had to be ready by the morning, however, he turned white. He explained that he had included a short Torah thought from two of his nephews. He still did not have one from Rav Moshe Chevroni. He could not print the Sefer without including him, even if it meant not printing it. That's when he had a brainstorm. He would go to the yeshiva under the pretext of a question on the Rambam. He was certain that with his brilliant mind and encyclopedic knowledge, Rav Moshe would render an exceptional resolution to his query. Thus, he would ensure that Rav Moshe's Torah thought in his would be in his sefer. He risked his life, not only for Torah, but to avoid hurting the feelings of another Jew. 101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kedish, Pashas Achalim, Mais Kedoshim, Tov, Shin, Peye, as we prepare for another amazing, amazing Shabbos, another chance to enrich our neshamas, to come closer and closer to our Kodesh Baruch, which is the amazing opportunity that Shabbos affords us. Let's talk a little bit about something very, very central to our lives. There's a sefer called Imre Yosef. And he writes at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. There are others who bring it also. Quotes Rav Yitzchak Isaac Mizilchev to explain the words of the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, they said about Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel that when he sat down to learn Torah, any bird that flew over him straight away was burnt. And he explained, when we talk about a bird, we talk about a malach. As the pasuk says in Koheles, ki oif hashamayim yerliches hako, birds of the heaven will transport the sound. And Yonasan ben Uziel learned Torah with such kedusha, such holiness, such purity, to the point where he raised the malachim from the world where they usually stay, which is the world of Yetzira, to a higher world, the Olam HaBria. And there the other malachim, there's Srafim there. And that's what it means. Any malach that flew of him straight away was burnt. In other words, it raised them to the world of the Srafim. That's what he says. Now, the Imre Yosef, right, who also actually wrote the Ma'or V'Shemesh in Parshas Bereishis, says that the power of learning Torah is so great when a person learns Torah for the right reasons, for the sake of Hashem. It's so great till Chazal say that Yonasan ben Uziel, when he was busy learning Torah, every malach that flew over his head was elevated to a different world. And perhaps We can use this incident in the Gemara to allude that as you said, a bird alludes to angels who are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they are called Ma'ofefim. They fly, as it says in the book of Daniel. Va'ish Gavriel Ma'ef. He was flying, right? And the explanation is, it says, that his learning was so powerful until the angels were raised to a different world, and they became Seraphim, which is even a higher form of Malach. Now, the Imre Yosef then explains the words, another word, Gemara, in Brachas on Daf 28a, regarding Rami Gamliel. The Gemara says that Rami Gamliel would not allow a student into the Beis Medrash unless his toichai kabayrei, unless his interior was as sincere as his exterior. Only then could he go in, right? But when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as the Nasi, he gave everyone permission to come in. And that day, they removed the guard in front of the door, and everyone had right to come in. Now, the question is, how would the guard have known which Talmud was indeed the same inside as outside? And how do you let anyone in? Right? Who was sincere and who wasn't? But it says, because Rabbi Gamliel had made this statement, and when Rabbi Gamliel made a statement, that created a malach, an angel. And the angel did not let anyone who wasn't absolutely the same inside and outside to enter into the Beis Medrash. And he was the guard over the door. And when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, so he canceled that decree of Rabbi Gamliel, and that malach went back to a higher world. And that's what it means when it says, Salku, they removed him, and he went to an even higher place in heaven. In other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah raised the level of that malach, who until now had been the guard over the door, to a level of a Saraf. And then he left his job at the opening to the Beis Medrash. Now, we need to explain perhaps in a different way this concept of raising a malach who's to change to a different kind of malach, to a Saraf. Because it doesn't mean that he just sort of abandoned the entrance to the Beis HaMedrash, but he actually, his whole look at those who came to the Beis HaMedrash changed dramatically. Let's try to understand this. We find the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Gerushin, right, Halacha Kaf, regarding someone who refuses to give a writ of divorce to his wife. And we hit him. We hit him until he agrees to give the get, and he says, okay, I'm prepared to. And we know that the Rambam explains, how does this work? It says, but because someone has such a strong yetzara, such a strong evil inclination, who wants to stop him from doing the mitzvah, and in fact tries to convince him to do an avera, and we hit him until it becomes something that he's obligated to do it, or until he's prepared to distance himself totally from something that is forbidden to do. And that's not called coercion. It's not called that as being forced, but he has forced himself in his desire to do wrong. And therefore, this person who doesn't want to divorce his wife, since really he wants to be a God-fearing Jew, and he wants to do all the mitzvahs and to stay away from Averis, but it's just his Yetzirah's evil inclination who's attacking him. And since we hit him until he weakens the hold of the Yetzirah over himself, and he says, I'm prepared to do it, that already is considered that he's doing it quite willingly. Comes out, therefore, every single Jew, deep down, wants to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have a Yetzirah, which is very, very strong and very, very demanding. And even when someone comes to learn the Beis Medrash, and he's not so sincere, inside he has maybe bad thoughts or bad intentions, right? But beyond that, even more deep than that, there's a genuineness deep down in his neshama. His desire is actually to learn Torah properly. And therefore we can say, because the malach that was created by Rami Gamliel's orders saw only the second level. He saw that on some level this person is insincere, and therefore he wouldn't allow him to go into the Beis Medrash. However, came Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, and he raised the level of the Malach to such a high level that he could see beyond the interior, and he could see to the depth of the person's neshama of every single Jew. That even if externally it looked like he was insincere, but in the deep part of his reality, he was absolutely sincere. And therefore we can understand what it was that Rabbi Loz ben Azariah said after he was appointed as the Nasi in partnership with Rabbi Gamliel, as we know appears in the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Gimel. It says, it once happened with Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika and Rabbi Loza ben Chisma that they went to visit Rabbi Yeshua in a place called Pekin. So he said to them, "Nu, what did they learn? What was novel today in the Beis Medrash?" So he said, "No, we are your students, and we've come to hear from your word, from your wisdom." He said to them, "Afa biken, nevertheless, efshar Beis Medrash b'lo chiddush. It's impossible that you sat and learned Torah in the Beis Medrash today, and there wasn't something novel that coming." So he asked them, Shabbos Shomi Hoysa. We know that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Loz ben Azariah did a leadership partnership. So whose week was it? So they said, no, this was the week of Rabbi Loz ben Azariah. So knew what did he speak about? What was the shir on? So they said to him, it was about the parsha of Hakel. Hakel, we know, is a mitzvah that every 7 years after the Shemitah on Chol Moed Sukkot, the whole nation gathers together in the Beis HaMikdash, and the king stands on a stage and reads to them from the Sefer Torah. So what did he say? He said, the Pasuk says, gather the nation, men, women, and children. So if the men, you understand, are coming to learn Torah, the women are coming to at least hear. But why are the children coming? So he said, in order to give rewards to those who are bringing them. So he said to them, you had such an amazing treasure that you heard, and you wanted to hide it from me. And the question is, what was the need to bring children to Hakel when they don't understand what's going on? Right? What rewards would there be for those who bring them in that situation? But we find in the Medrash that at the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded from the Jewish nation that they should give him guarantors that the Jews are going to keep the Torah. And they gave him the children, that they would be the guarantors. And if, God forbid, Klai Yisrael is not fulfilling the Torah, so then those guarantors will be punished in their place. God forbid. Now, the Medrash says in Medrash Rabbah, on the Pasuk there, it says, Moshecheni, pull me acharecha narutz, we'll run after you. Amr Ameir, B'shoa she'omdu Yisrael lefnei HaSinai, when Klai Yisrael stood in front of HaSinai, L'kabel HaTorah, Amnem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Setzerim. Says, he said to him as, with an oath, I'm giving you the Torah, but bring me guarantors. Give me good guarantors that you will keep the Torah. And I'm going to give it to you conditionally. So our forefather said, we'll be the guarantors. He says, no, you can't be. Right? You can't be the guarantors. Why? Because Avram, it says, Avram Avinu wanted to know how he's going to get Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak, I'm not so happy with either, because he loved Esav, and I hate Esav. As it says, I hate Esav. Yaakov said, Nistara Daki Me Hashem. Somehow he said that Hashem has hidden himself from me. But bring me good guarantors, and I'll give the Torah to you. Said Harei Boneinu Orvim. Let our children be the guarantors. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are good guarantors. And through them, I will give you the Torah. And that's why it says, Mipi oilelim b'yoinkim yasartais. Based on the children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu established his strength. And oiz, strength is Torah. As it means another part of Hashem. And therefore it is obligatory on every father to bring his son to learn Torah and to educate him in the learning of Torah, in order that we should all have a good and long life. And again, the question is, what is the great attribute of the children that they were chosen to be the guarantors for the Torah? We know that a person has two inclinations, the positive, the Yetzer Tov, and that comes into a person's body only when he turns bar mitzvah at the age of 13, as the Medrash brings, right? Based on a pasuk, Toiv Yeled Miskein B'chocham Mimelach Zokein Uksil. What's Toiv Yeled Miskein? Better is a Nebuch, a child. Says that's the Yetzer Tov. Why is it called a Yeled, a child? Because it only comes to a person when he becomes a bar mitzvah. And why is he called Miskein? Why is he considered such a weak child? Because no one listens to him. Right? And why is he called a Chacham? Because he teaches the whole world the correct path. And why, what's a melech zaken exil, an old foolish king? That's the Etzara. Why is he called a king? Because everyone listens to him. And why do we call him old? Because he's been with a person from his birth until his old age. And why is he called a fool? Because he tries to teach a person to go on a bad way, which no one understands where it's going to lead him, until he doesn't even understand how much pain, how much suffering he's going to get eventually. And he doesn't stay away from them. The Chidah also brings that in his Sefer Midbar Kedemos. He says the Yetzer Tov is only with the child in his womb, so that he can learn the whole Torah. And when he's born, so then the Yetzer Hara comes and takes his place. And he chases the Yetzer Tov away until the child becomes intelligent, and then the Yetzer Tov comes back. Now, if for the first 13 years of a person's life, he comes out, he only has a Yetzer Hara and not a Yetzer Tov, so what draws that person to do any mitzvahs? He only has an evil inclination. What makes him want to daven or learn Torah or stop doing averus? But the truth is, every single Jew, because in his deep, deep, deep essence, he's good, even without a Yetzer Tov. And that becomes, we see that so clearly, by children who learn Torah and fulfill mitzvahs even without a Yetzer Tov. However, once he's gotten to the age of 13, so now he really gets much more involved in the physical world, which has all these amazing, amazing desires that he wants. And now he needs help. Now he needs the help of the Yetzer HaTov in order to subdue the Yetzer Hara. And sometimes, unfortunately, the Yetzer HaTov is not able. And the person has to receive suffering in order to control and subdue the power of the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, specifically children were chosen to be the guarantors for the Jewish nation, that they will learn Torah and they will fulfill it, because they reveal to us the fact that every single Jew, in his very essence, he's absolutely quintessentially good. And we don't have to worry that they're going to abandon the Torah to go after some of the desires of this world. And therefore, we dafka have to bring the children to hear the parsha of Hakel, even though they don't understand a word. But the very fact that we bring them, right, is a tremendous merit for the Jewish nation. Why? Because it reveals that every single Jew in his very essence is a good person. And he wants to do the ratzon of his creator. And that's litein sochar l'mevien, to give reward to those that bring him. What's the reward? The reward is that he reveals sheretzoneinu l'aseis es retzoin Hashem, that our desire is to do the will of our Creator. Only problem is the Yetzer Hara often stops us. Now the Chida writes further in his sefer Midbar Kedemos. He says that the Tana Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, he was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi. And therefore, when he was 18 years old, he said, Hare ani kven shivim shana, because Shmuel lived 52 years plus his 18. So now he reached the ripe old age, so to speak, of 70 years. And the Yerushalmi brings down that at the time when there was a fast day, a public fast day, we mention the zechus of Shmuel HaNavi. In fact, the Mishnah says, right, what do we used to say, many brachas, and on the fourth bracha, we would say, Mi sha'ana es Shmuel b'mitzvah, the same Hashem who answered Shmuel's pleas in place of mitzvah, who yaneschem, he should answer you. The Yishma b'kol tzakaschem, and hear your cries. Baruch ato Hashem, shemea tzaka, who hears our cries. The Gemara says, v'yikbetzu ha-mitzvah, so they all gathered a mitzvah, v'yisharu mayim, and they drew water, v'yishkul v'desh, and they poured it out before Hashem, v'yotzu mobiyom, and they fasted, and they said, chatanu l'Hashem, we've sinned to Hashem. And Shmuel judged the Bnei Yisrael in mitzvah. Says Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, love Shmuel chalukan shall call Yisrael. He, so to speak, put on all their clothing, and they said to him, Ribon Olam, master of the universe, are you going to judge the person, right, only on what he says in front of you? He says, I didn't sin. So I'm going to judge them, rather. I'm going to judge them, and I'm going to see them as people who don't sin, who are perfect human beings. In other words, Shmuel, what does it mean? He put on the clothing of the Jewish nation when he came to speak beneficially about the Jewish nation, to teach them that every single sin that the Jewish nation might commit, it's only external, like a shirt. And it's not really internal. It's not really the essence of the person. Because a person's essence is good and straight. And therefore, it's worthwhile to forgive them for their sins. And this merit, right, this is what we say in the tefillah of a fast day. And this is something we have to remember also. Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, who was the Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi, he learned from Shmuel HaNavi, who came before him, that don't look on the externality of anyone. Look at the pure, pure Jew. That's always inside. 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a minute with our Hilchos Shabbos talk.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Achreimus Kedoshim Tavshin Pei. As we have just a few more minutes together, we're learning halachas of cleaning up on Shabbos. So let's say this. Clumps of grass, which are blocking a kind of a pipe, a downpipe, a drainage pipe, causing water to back up onto, let's say, the roof, and maybe even chasham leak into the house. So Chazal permit sort of stepping on the clump to break up and remove the blockage. Normally, even fixing something with a shina in an unusual way is rabbinically prohibited. But in this case, where otherwise a loss might be incurred, Chazal were lenient and permitted. Says Gemara in Ksuvus on Daf 60. Now, based on this, some people prohibit unclogging a sink using a plunger. They maintain that Chachamim permit removing blockages only if an unusual way, a shinui, is used. But using a plunger to break up a blockage is the normal way to deal with this problem. Thus, it is forbidden by Torah law, and even in a time of need, one may not be lenient. Right? Says Rav Tzera Yosef. In contrast, others permit this, maintaining that a blockage that can be broken up using a plunger is not really a total blockage, and thus breaking it up is not considered a true repair. Furthermore, the improvement that is made is not to the pipe itself. Rather, one is simply dislodging the sludge and muck that clogged it up, says the Minchas Yitzchak. And the Shlomo Zalman Rach. Right? In practice, in a case of needs, it's proper for two people to hold the plunger and unclog the drain together. This way, even according to the strict opinion, the prohibition would only be rabbinic, because two people are doing it, and when in doubt about a rabbinic mitzvah, the halacha follows the more lenient opinion. That's about all the time we actually have this Shabbos, and therefore I'm going to just take my leave and wish you all an amazing, amazing Shabbos. Thank you so much for being part of our radio family, for so conscientiously putting on your device, putting on your radio, and listening to what, please God, we're trying to teach, we're trying to learn together, we're trying to grow together. And Bez Hashem, just want to take out some deed to wish every single one of our radio family a Shabbos Shalom, Mavorach, a beautiful, good, good bench, warm Shabbos culture.